This is Lawmaker, written by Susie Tate, narrated by Shane East and Zara Hampton Brown.
Content warning. This book features scenes of domestic violence and assault, and mentions of child neglect. Please listen at your own discretion. For the survivors, your bravery lights the way for others. Chapter 1. It was a dick move. Clara. Hey, Ozzy, I said softly, as I took one of the tiny chairs at the timeout table. Ozzy gave me one brief, furious look, then crossed his arms over his little 7-year-old chest and glared out of the window. I sighed. Since the beginning of the school year, Oscar Sterling had consistently been the most challenging child in the class. Today, he'd ripped pages out of his reading book and then thrown the book at Margot Harding. At a normal school with normal kids, maybe this wouldn't cause all-out panic, but I didn't work at a normal school. Moulton Prep was one of the most exclusive prep schools in London. These were no run-of-the-mill 7-year-olds. Margot was the daughter of Oliver Harding, the Duke of Buckingham, and Oscar was Lord Stirling's son. Both of these men were utterly terrifying. Luckily, being only a teaching assistant, I didn't have much direct contact with parents. That had been one of the stipulations I made before accepting this job. It meant I took the lower-paid assistant role, rather than that of form tutor, but that suited me just fine. I was able to keep the lowest profile possible, something I always aspired to, and I didn't have to deal with any dukes of this or lords of that on a regular basis. Given my almost crippling shyness when it came to adults, coupled with my unusual circumstances, which made anonymity of vital importance, even the school agreed that this was for the best. Lily, the form tutor, was deep in conversation with a furious-looking Margot, whose tiny body was stiff with affronted rage, her small fists clenched at her sides. Lily gave me a very brief, oh shit, look, before going back to placating the little girl. We had just over an hour to defuse this situation before parents started to arrive. My mind flashed to Ozzy's dad, and my breath caught in my throat. Lord Stirling was one of the most intimidating men I'd ever seen in my life. Tall, built, dark hair, eyes so blue they were almost otherworldly. Deep, commanding voice, no doubt inherited from centuries of his ancestors ruling over the lesser mortals of this country. He was super scary, completely fascinating, and, given that he was a barrister of all things, about the last man I should be obsessing over. Luckily, someone like him would never notice someone like me, and I should be grateful for that. Lord Ralph Stirling was one of the most renowned criminal barristers in the country, and apparently on course to be one of the youngest judges ever appointed in the UK. Clearly not satisfied with the vast Stirling wealth, he was chasing the ultimate promotion. For me, contact with police, barristers, and especially judges was extremely ill-advised, given my background. Not that I could have spoken to Lord Stirling anyway. Considering I could barely string two words together when talking to our very kind and motherly headmistress, I doubted a conversation with a man like Lord Stirling would be on the cards. That didn't mean I couldn't watch him, though. If there was one thing I was good at, it was watching. Silent observation had been a survival technique for me when I was growing up, and it still served me well then. So, every Tuesday morning and afternoon, I would look out of the classroom window, making sure I was out of sight behind some questionable Year 3 artwork, to see Lord Stirling drop Ozzy off at school and pick him up at the end of the day. Usually, he was in a 3-piece suit. In the colder months, he wore a long, dark coat over his suit, which flew out behind him in the wind and made him look 100% the aristocrat he was. This was one small highlight of my narrow life, one thing I let myself